In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you go to the city of Jerusalem, which I haven't, I hope to someday, but I don't know, maybe one of you in here has, but if you go to the city of Jerusalem, you can walk what's called the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Suffering, which is the path, the supposed path, that Jesus took from Pontius Pilate to his crucifixion. And over the years, they have, from what I've read, they have debated where exactly that path is, and so it's been located different places during different times, but all of that doesn't really matter. What really matters is that he actually walked it. He truly walked it, the roughly 3/4 of a mile from Pontius Pilate to his death on the cross. And if you're familiar at all with what's called the Stations of the Cross, which we don't necessarily do, but not that we have anything really against them, but the Stations of the Cross are different spots along that 3/4 of a mile where different things happen. Like, for instance, where Simon took over carrying the cross. So like I said, we don't really observe them for different reasons, but we certainly do observe the way of the cross. We observe definitely our Savior Jesus Christ walking the way of suffering from his sentencing to the site of his crucifixion, the walk to his execution. And the reason I bring that up right now is that's very significant, as we're going to talk tonight about acedia, or slothfulness, one of these 7 vices. Because the opposite of acedia, the opposite of being slothful, is Jesus. Specifically, the opposite of sloth or acedia is Jesus' steadfastness. He walks the way of the cross, and nothing will keep him from walking that way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, you're all familiar with this verse. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." He persevered, right? He was steadfast. So like, for instance, when his own disciple, Judas, comes to kiss him and betray him, what does Jesus do? He's steadfast. When the soldiers come and they arrest him and bind him, Jesus was steadfast. When the Sanhedrin put him on trial and they accuse him of blaspheming his own father, he's steadfast. When they bring him before Pontius Pilate and he questions him, and bring him before King Herod and he mocks him, Jesus was steadfast. When they push the crown of thorns down on his head, when they tie him to the post to whip him, Jesus is steadfast. When they walk him the Via Dolorosa, the way to his cross, and put the cross on his back, he's steadfast. When they nail his hands and feet to the cross, he's steadfast. When he hangs there from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m, 6 hours, Jesus is steadfast. Nothing will keep him from doing what he must do to save us. Now, you could say, well, tons of people walk the way to their death. What's the deal, right? All kinds of people have walked the way to their execution. Well, yes, but they had to. Jesus did not. As you remember him saying, "I could call a legion of 12 legions of angels anytime." But he didn't. He was steadfast, and he went the way he didn't deserve to go, but he went for us. So then, as we talk about acedia tonight, my prayer for all of us is the same prayer of St. Paul that he says in our reading tonight, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, where he says, "May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." See, as I start to talk about acedia, you're going to see that this is a real battle. This is a demon, acedia is, the slothfulness. And as you and I fight the good fight against it, and as we confess it in our own lives, our own apathy, our own slothfulness, Paul says, "May the Lord direct our hearts to the steadfastness of Jesus." Because that's our hope. in His steadfastness, no matter how lazy we are, how matter slothful, how matter distracted we are, in His steadfastness, we are saved. And we are given the ability to fight this good fight. So let's talk about acedia then a little bit. From what I've read on acedia, I think the best English word for it is boredom. At least the best word in 2018 in America. This is the best word for acedia, boredom. Because that word is like the sentiment of America today. We are bored. And it's funny because, of course, you could say never have we had access to so much, quote, entertainment as we have today. It's unbelievable. And yet, of course, never have we perhaps been so bored. You and I could go home right now, have access to easily over 100, hundreds of different TV channels, right? We could go home and have access to hundreds, maybe even thousands of friends on Facebook. We could go home and just a phone call away from hundreds of our friends and relatives, right? We have access to thousands of magazines, newspapers, blogs, movies, what have you, and yet we're bored. So let me give you a little picture of this. It's helpful for me anyway. God has given you and I'm talking about especially in America right now, but this could apply anywhere in the world. He has given us blessings from shore to shore here. I mean, they are innumerable. Just think about what God has given you and I. Food. I mean, today we have the most wonderful food, the finest meats you could ever want, the finest sweets. I mean, it's unbelievable the kind of sweets that we have access to, the best fruits. And yet, how often are we bored with food? He's given us the best drinks, the best coffees, the best teas, the best wines, the best beers that have ever been poured into a glass. And yet, what we say, man, I really need something to drink. Right? We're bored. He's given us the most beautiful places to see. You know, a little drive up to Starved Rock or, you know, take a walk along the Mackinac or go to any of our national parks. Get up in the morning and watch the gorgeous sunrise or go out at night and watch the sky full of stars. We can walk 3 blocks from here and have access to our library that has the best books that the world has to offer. The best poems, the best stories written by the best authors. And yet we're bored. And God has also given us one of the finest gifts that has ever graced humanity, music. And we can make it all right here in our throat. And yet we're bored. But that's not even the worst, okay? That's bad enough. But it gets worse. God has even given us greater treasures than all of that. He has given us Himself. He Himself has come down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and yet we're bored with Him. He Himself has written down His very words and thoughts and feelings for us in the Holy Scriptures. 66 books of them, 1,189 chapters of God's very words. We're bored with it. God Himself has promise that any time we want to address Him, He will listen to our every word. Right? That we have this audience with God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, anytime we want. We're bored with that. God has given us the gift of baptism, right? And this water has promised us that we are His children forever and that every single day we wake up, that we can wash our sins away and a new man will come forth. Who cares about baptism? And He Himself comes to us for our forgiveness in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper for us to eat and drink. We get bored with that. See, this is how ugly this demon of acedia is and how dangerous it is. God, He's just so abundant in all these good and wonderful things. And He just says, fill your hearts with them, fill your minds with them, fill your souls with them. But the problem is we lose our appetite for them. We get bored with them, right? And so we escape from all of these good things that God has to give us in one of two ways, either pure laziness and apathy, we do nothing with them, or on the flip side, we avoid them. We become so busy with all kinds of things that we just become completely distracted to them and don't care about them at all. And so Dorothy Sayers, I could never have said it better than what she says. She says that acedia is an empty heart, it's an empty mind, and it's an empty soul. So no wonder, just for your information, no wonder that acedia is very closely interwoven with depression. You can't enjoy the good things God gives. Now in America, as you know, this is only going to get worse, sadly. It doesn't have to be in the church, but in America, this will get worse. Because what's happening in America, we're becoming this culture. This is kind of our sentiment, is we don't care. I talked a lot about this Sunday morning in Bible study. In our culture, nothing is really sacred. Nothing has any kind of lasting meaning or purpose. And so our basic kind of a motto is, I don't care. You know, you do what you want, I'll do what I want, and hey, I don't care. The only thing that we universally care about in America is pleasure. That's the one thing that's sacred. Don't let anybody take our pleasures from us. But of course, these pleasures, the problem with them is they're just so fleeting and meaningless. They don't last. So we get busy. You know, we go from here to there, everywhere, chasing all our pleasures, but we don't have time for anything of real lasting purpose. Just take this for instance. How many times do we say, I don't have time today to do my devotions or pray? I mean, that's just common. I mean, we do that all the time, right? We're way too busy. Because all of this busyness, it becomes, as one author said, a spiritual morphine. It's like a drug that keeps us from enjoying or contemplating the real lasting things of life. Now, for the Christian, it's a little different, okay? I can talk bad about the culture and all that, but for us, you see, it's just laziness. It's just sloth. Acedia is just us refusing to fight against that old sinful nature, right? That always wants to be negative, that doesn't want to be content, that doesn't want to enjoy the good things of God. And we kind of want to just live in that darkness, live with that old nature. We don't want to fight against him, right? We don't want to do anything that requires real thought or real work or real love. And this is why I had this parable, you know, of that Jesus tells of the one talent guy. What does he do? Jesus gives him this one talent, which is a lot. It may not sound like a lot. It sounds like just $1 to us, but one talent was a significant thing. Give him this one talent, and he just says, I'm just going to bury it because, well, God is just a mean old hard head anyway, right? And we think, well, what does it matter? If God actually comes back, then I'll go dig it up. That's the problem for us Christians. Now, for all of this, I know this is a lot of depression, depressing stuff. That's acedia. But for all of this, Jesus' words are so simple. As he says, so often in the Gospels and so many different parables and stuff, these are his words for us caught in boredom. Wake up. Or sometimes it's stay awake. Or other times it's watch yourselves. Right? Just look around, basically, is what he says to us. Just look around, Christians. Look at what God has given to you and me. So when you wake up in the morning, in other words, put away that old, bored, sinful nature that's never happy with anything, that never wants to enjoy anything, that never cares about anything, never loves anything. Drown that guy with Christ every single morning and wake up the new man in Jesus Christ, the man of steadfastness, right? Wake up in the morning and say like the psalmist does, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? Let us look around at what God has given us and enjoy it and bring that joy to other people, right? Now, does any of that sound boring? Of course not, right? But the old sinful nature wants to make it sound boring, but it's not. And when you come to church, right, and this is preaching to the choir, you're all here at a Lent midweek service, so you're kind of the wrong crowd to hear this. But when you come to church, right, we have to have a care what's actually going on here. The church today, in general, not just our church, but in general, it really does look like we suffer from spiritual ADD. It's like we can't pay attention to what's going on. We're so distracted, right? We come to church and we don't really even pay attention to the words that we're saying and singing. You know, we're distracted, we're daydreaming. We hardly put any effort into actually singing. We'd rather just be entertained by other people singing. We grumble and complain about each other or the church or the pastor. We take communion with hardly a thought about it. I mean, this is a problem. And as Christians, we got to fight that demon of boredom, fight against it. And think of it this way. There is nothing even remotely boring about the living Lord of heaven and earth coming down here to us to speak his word into our ears, to listen to our prayers, and to place his very body and blood into our mouths. Is that boring? Where else can you get that? I mean, this is Jesus Christ, our Savior, coming down with all his angels, the host of heaven, to speak with us, sing with us, kneel with us, and listen to us. That's anything but boring. So one more time, I will pray the prayer of St. Paul for all of us. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Be steadfast and fight that boredom. Because when you live with Jesus and in his joy, the word boring shouldn't even exist. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.